Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at Luke 16, verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom is preached. The kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery." So one of the most important things to keep in mind in reading scripture is to pay attention to the context. And I think very often when people don't pay attention to the context, they see the Bible as sort of this disjointed quilt of pieces thrown in. Take, for example, this passage on divorce. It looks kind of odd, especially when it has the heading that it does in the ESV text, and there's these breaks. But keep in mind the whole picture. Since chapter 11 of Luke, we could say even further, Jesus has been having these escalating conversations with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, in many ways, were the closest to Jesus in his teaching and understanding, but he is pressing them for their hypocrisy, for their practicing details of the law, but not getting the heart of the law and missing the heart of the law when it comes to the poor and the needy in Israel. And Jesus has just given the parable of the dishonest manager, in which a crooked manager has used his cleverness to save his position with his master because he's getting ready to be fired. And basically, he's saying, you guys are the crooked managers, and you would do well to use the time that remains to you to make yourself right with the message of the kingdom and with who I am, with the message of Jesus. But they're refusing to do this. And so notice that it says they mocked Jesus. They made fun of him when they saw what he had to say about money. He says, you guys justify yourselves before men. You are interested in proving yourselves right before men, but not really pursuing what is right before God. And he says, as it happens, when you see yourselves accounted well by men, it's very well possible that you are an abomination to God. And that's a very strong word that Luke uses there. It's a word for terrible kinds of idolatry. And then Jesus says, look, the law and the prophets were until John, but since John, the kingdom of heaven is open. It's as if the doors to the kingdom of heaven have been thrown wide open and people are flocking to the message. Yet these guys seem to think that Jesus is overturning the law, that he's come to overturn the law. But Jesus makes it clear, no, I'm not coming to overturn the law. You misunderstand the law. I'm coming to fulfill the law. I'm coming to fulfill it and bring it to pass. I'm going to show you what the Sabbath is all about. I'm going to show you what God's commands are all about, and you're missing that. And then he gives this teaching about divorce. So I think the key here is that Jesus has said they're lovers of money, they're lovers of people's reputations. And I think Jesus picks divorce in this case, one, because he probably knew that many of the Pharisees were divorced or endorsed divorce, and that to Jesus, that was a undercutting of the law. It was the undercutting of the heart of the law, particularly of Genesis. Remember, from the beginning, it was not so, but for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. But also I think he does it because Jesus, from the beginning, has been talking about the wedding feast. He's been talking about the idea that he is the bridegroom and he's come for his bride Israel, and he's been talking about wedding parties. And these guys are essentially divorcing themselves from all of that, divorcing themselves from that whole tradition. And he ultimately says that their God is money. He uses the word mammon, which is a word for a pagan deity at the time. And he's challenging them that they have two gods. And really, if you have two gods, you can't have God as your God. And in all of these parables, he's challenging them to use the God-given resources, the good things that God has given them, for the disposal of God's kingdom, for welcoming those who would not otherwise be welcome, for defending the weak, and they refuse to do it. And so once again, he cites adultery as an example of them actually exploiting the weak, sending people into situations where they're vulnerable and not able to defend themselves. So in the next parable, we're going to see it's the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The prior one was a dishonest manager who uses riches for his sake. All of this has to do with those with power and wealth and misusing that wealth and therefore dismissing themselves from the kingdom of God. So may we know Jesus, the one who has come to teach us the fulfillment of the law in welcoming those who would not otherwise be welcomed. Amen.